Hey, everybody. Chris and I have our first sponsor. We're so happy now. Our association with the Ruinous Media Network has yielded us a sponsor, and it is DistroKid. And they help people get music up onto streaming platforms easily and cheaply. I use it. I've uploaded a bunch of stuff that I recorded eons ago, and now all that stuff's on streaming media platforms, and I did it through DistroKid, and it was super simple. So if you're a listener of ours and you want to try DistroKid, I highly recommend it. The code for you is TalkGuitars. So it's distrokid.com/VIP/TalkGuitars. So try it out. I hope you dig it. That's our first sponsor, man. No shirt, no shoes, no shit, no service. Today, we're going to talk about me. Yeah, me.
Yeah,
Rick,
you.
All about me, man. Almost a year ago now, I started building a classical guitar. And it's something I've wanted to do since I was a kid. I don't know why. I was fixated. And also, it's weird, too, because I was fixated on a classical guitar, right? Not a steel string or whatever, but I wanted to build a I think it was just I had this romance about them in my mind, you know, like Andre Segovia and all this other crap. But that's what I wanted to do. And now, in my 60s, I finally decided to do it. So I might die before I finish it, but I hope not. But anyway, I've been doing it probably for the better part of this last year. So I started last year and I'm going on a year now. But Chris and I thought it'd be interesting to talk about and check in with me now where I am in terms of the progress, and then maybe, you know, check in later on.
After it's built.
Yeah, after it's built. I mean,
if it sounds like shit, you're going to jump out a window.
I'm going to smash it like we've got baseball bats, and we'll go Office Space on that thing. But
so really quick, a couple of questions to get things rolling here. So you said, how old were you when you first had the idea to build a classical guitar?
In my teens, like early teens.
Because
I went to the library. I went to the library and checked out a book on making a classical guitar. And back then it was like, you know, candles and but it was always this fascination, right? And it would just come and go. It wouldn't come and go. It was always in the back burner, but I would, like, you know, check out a book or buy a book. So I have like 5 books on building a classical guitar. I just never did it.
Right.
You know, I never fucking.
It's just such a weird thing because you were playing in bands, playing electric guitar. Electric guitars are very DIY friendly.
Totally.
You know what I mean? Even like a flat top is something that you would find yourself probably have a use for. Yeah. It's like, cool. But I mean, and I know you play classical guitar, so you'll have a use for that. But to be a kid and go, I want to play this really stuffy thing.
Exactly.
I want to get a foot rest and I want to get a bow tie. And we're talking about, I want to be Van Halen.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Yeah. And I have the same, you know, outlook on it. You know, it's like, what are you thinking? But that's what I wanted to do. Yeah. And so I accumulated books over the years and got rid of them and then got new books. And then finally last year, I thought, you know what? I got to do this. I just got to try it. And so the thing that made me do it is I ordered the wood, right? That was the first thing
invested.
I ordered was the wood. Yeah. I invested in the wood. It's going to be a cedar top with Indian rosewood back and sides. And so I bought the wood. And then, you know, the thing you learn is all the tools you need, or the tools you should acquire to make it,
right?
You know, not so hard
to build.
Yes. And need to build. Yeah, right. Exactly. So those revelations started to come as, you know, I got into the various different processes, right? So yeah, I mean, I built the side bending jig, you know, out of plywood and all the materials, and built, you know, countless little jigs to, you know, to route out the slots for the peg head and all that stuff. And so, yeah, so so I've spent a small fortune just on the tools. I bought this drum sander.
Right.
My wife, Danielle's like, what did you buy now? And I've got this tiny garage too, which is funny too. Chris, you have to come out and see it.
It's tinier now, I bet.
But it's like, I'm like, you know, squeezing through these small spaces to get to from one tool to another, you know, jeopardizing dropping the guitar because it's anyway. But so yeah, my space is tight, but I've got all the tooling I need. And I am, so where I am right now is I'm putting the binding on the edges right now. And so once I do that, then I'll be able to, you know, scrape everything level and all that, and then put the fretboard on. And I'm pretty close actually to being done.
Wow.
Well, I say that, but I mean, there's still a lot of process to go, right? Is to get the fretboard on and the bridge on and all that. And then to finish, of course, but Yeah.
So you have the neck shaped or just kind of blocked in a little bit?
And I've got it blocked in a little bit right now. And then once the fretboard goes on, that's when the final neck shaping.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah.
The neck shaping goes. And then I'm debating whether or not to get a fretboard that's just already slotted, you know, because the guy, yeah, that's the recommendation.
That might make more sense. That
might make my life
pretty tedious
easier.
Thing. Yes. Yeah. And like setting the frets for the first time,
it
might be really good. I mean, that could be a bad thing. Something you probably eventually want to get into, but it's like that. Yeah. I mean, it depends. Yeah. I love doing DIY stuff.
Yeah.
I have zero fucking patience. I mean, my amps always worked. My pedals always worked.
Uh-huh.
They're kind of, you know, they're kind of messy, you know, it's just, I just want to get them done. So I would be the worst person to do that. I could probably make an electric guitar, you know, like a telly or something. Do you know the exact date when you started? You said going on a year or something.
I want to say I started in March of last year.
So
it's been a year. Yeah. So just rolling up on a year. Yeah. I don't know the exact date, but I think it was March when I started it. Yeah.
So far, what was the thing that was the most frustrating and the most nerve wracking? Like, I'm going to ruin something or I'm going to cut my finger off or my arm?
So the process of taking the router to the body to cut the channels and the edges for the purfling and the binding is that was it for me.
The mangler. Yeah.
Oh, dude.
Router.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Because I did the back, the rosewood, and that went fine. That was like, but when I got to the top, I routed off the excess, you know, that was hanging over the sides of the rosewood and it was starting to chip out. And I'm like, oh, fuck.
Right.
And it wasn't super bad, but I thought, I don't know if this is going to go into the, you know, the top, you know, past the binding. But then once I cut the channel for the binding, I was okay. But man, I after doing that first pass on the top, I waited like 2 weeks because I was scared to do it. I didn't want to screw it up. But it's funny you ask me that, because actually every step of the way, every process, I'm worried I'm going to screw it up. Every step of the way, right? So, you know, the first part was I was showing you pictures as I was thicknessing the top. Remember that? I showed you these, and I picked the side I wanted, and it's like, oh, that's beautiful. It looks great. I got it to the thickness it needs to be. And sure as shit, I was like, hey, I need a light up here. And so I'm fucking around with this light up here, and this thing drops, a screw drops. And of course it drops right on the top because I'm a dumbass, right? I didn't move the top before I was, and there was this little ding in it. I'm like, fuck, that's the side I wanted to use. And like you were saying, you know, you could try to, you know, use heat and water and
well it out,
but it did nothing work. So it's like, so I just flipped it over and did a couple more passes, and that side's fine, but it's not the side. So, you know, every step of the way, it's either me being a dumbass or, you know, me fearing that I'm going to screw up the guitar, you know, and then have to start over or something like that.
Working with a top like that, it's like you got to take it down the perfect amount or it's going to sound like shit.
Yeah.
But if you go too much, you know, or get it uneven, you're going to fuck it. That sounds
totally
really
dude. Oh, it is. And you know, you and I are the same way. It's like, I'm so anxiety ridden. I'm like, oh man. Yeah. And I'm checking with the calipers and I'm watching the video. So I'll go back. So I bought the wood. And then I also online, I found this guy named Pablo Requena. Shout out to him. He's a builder in Spain. He's built guitars for over 20 years. Super cool dude. He put this video series together of him building a classical guitar, and he walks you through every step of it. And so that's been my guide through this process. Is I'll watch the step for, you know, thicknessing the top and the sides. Okay, cool. And then I'll watch the part where he does this other thing. But the funny thing about it is sometimes he'll leave off, you know, some. You know, it's like a show, right? He'll get you to this one point and then he'll stop and he won't.
Not for this word from our.
Exactly. And then you're like, wait a minute, you didn't cover like, and so kind of it, you know, some of it you have to kind of fill in the blanks and like, okay, you know, trust the process and stuff. But for the most part, the videos have been super cool, super informative. And he walks you through, you know, every step of the process. That's another thing that really helped me along the way is because books alone, I don't think I would have had the confidence to do it, you know, just with books alone or, you know, materials like that.
Yeah. Video really made doing stuff like this a lot easier. Even when I started out doing amps and pedals. I don't think there were that. There weren't like as many videos. I don't think I saw any of them. I was kind of wondering like soldering and unsoldering things. Like I was working on amps.
Yeah.
And there were no videos out there that I could find even about that stuff. And then by the time I stopped doing it, now there's a million of them.
Yeah.
Watch people dick around in amps. I do that sometimes for fun. I watch someone like inside of a vintage amp just unsolder and solder things. And I'm like, oh, I can watch this for hours.
But it's fun.
So that's good that you had that resource, or you know.
Yeah. It's super cool and it's super helpful. Again, to go back to your question about, you know, what processes induces the most anxiety. I think the routing part of it was up to this point the most anxiety ridden part of the process because I just didn't want to screw that top up. And luckily it went well. I just followed the process and did the whole thing and now I'm putting so I put the binding on the back and now I'm putting the binding on the top. And I'm gonna do that hopefully in the next couple days or a week or so.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you want to get the right thickness for the sides and the top. You also want to have some fingers left when you get it done so you can play it. The router is probably one of the most dangerous.
Oh, dude.
I used it because I've made some cabinets before. I made like amp cabinets and standalone cabinets, and a lot of times I'd use a router, and it was like, it was pretty harrowing. Like, you know, I'd be like,
it really is.
I'd have to psych myself up and, you know, breathe and all this stuff and get it. And I have always had like shitty, like fences and things like that that I'd kind of throw together out of stuff or a little. Oh, it was kind of sketchy, but so far I got all my fingers.
Yeah. And that's another thing is the safety thing. Exactly. I was the same way with the router because, and well, now I've got, I think three routers, right? Because I, you know, and that's another thing too, is like cutting the sound hole and then the channel for the rosette. Those things filled me with anxiety too, right? Because, you know, you don't want to fuck up the top and you want to get the depth right on the rosette, all this. Well, and building the rosette. Okay. That's another whole thing unto itself, cutting right. The little pieces of wood that make up the decorative and supportive piece that goes around the sound hole. Jeez. It was tedious. And I was showing you pictures too of that as I was doing it. But it was actually kind of fun and meditative once you get into the process. But my God, it's like, oh man, that's another thing I'll say about the process is it's tedious because I had to cut all the little cedar pieces to secure the top to the sides, right? Because that's the way he goes. And so one of the things I found that I didn't anticipate was that the process is fairly forgiving. You know,
yeah.
I was so worried about fucking things up irreparably, but I have screwed up a little bit here and there, but I realized that, oh shit, it's not the end of the world. Like for instance, when I was cutting the neck part where the sides go into the neck, right at the heel of the guitar, and maybe I'll post some pictures on our site too for where I am with this thing. But, I cut them by hand, right? And so one of the sides is really nice. The other side kind of got a little off, right? And I'm like, oh shit, that's going to leave a gap between the sides and the heel. But once I put the whole thing together, the sides, the gap is really minuscule and I think it's going to be fine. But
that's another skill that you learn as you go is how to recover from those
things.
Because you come up with little tips and tricks like, and things like that. I mean, and that's one of them. I mean, if there's a little gap left, you can probably swell some of that out or, you know, just do something, something in there to pack it in there. But you're going to probably learn new skills about like, hiding things and making things look good. So that's really cool for that.
It is. Yeah. And that's what I've learned too is exactly, it's a forgiving process. I mean, obviously there, you know, if you screw up too badly, then you got to figure out a way to recover or buy a new part or you know, buy a new neck blank or something like that. But
start over. Oh, here we go.
Exactly. But, that's been really actually kind of a fun part of the process is learning that it is forgiving. And then another thing I'm learning the hard way is patience, right? Is don't push it. Like if I'm tired, call it a day. Because if I go any farther, that's when shit will happen, right? I won't think about something and I'll learning that patience, you know.
That's where I always sucked at. I mean,
it's hard, you know, because you're excited and you want to just keep pushing, you know, and you want to get something done, right? But it's like, no, I'm not, you know, this has taken me a year. And like you're saying before, I built a lot of the tooling, the side bending jig. I built this cool jig to cut out the slots in the peg head. I built this other jig to put the chamfer on the lower part of the slots, you know, where the strings come out to the nut, that whole thing. What other jigs have I built? Well, I tried to build a jig to cut the sound hole and the, oh, this is one of the things. I built this jig that I was going to use to cut the sound hole, but I used it and I'm starting to cut the sound hole and I'm going, it's not cutting a circle, you know, it's kind of going, it started to go sideways, and I'm like, oh shit. And I started to cut the side. Luckily, that part is going to be under the fretboard, but I freaked out at the time. Like it was one of those moments when I'm like, oh, I screwed it up. Now I gotta do a new top or something. But
I definitely, listening to you talk about this, I definitely recommend getting the board that's already have the frets in it and just,
yes,
you know, you probably have to go over them and shape them. The other thing that like is a job unto itself is the nut work. Oh, I don't know. I mean, I never did a nut on a classical guitar. I mean, it's probably might be a little easier because it's wider, but that's something that I did have patience for because you have to, because cool. When I used to do nuts, I wouldn't do my own nuts now. I would have probably have a tech do them because it's just, I don't have the tools for it anymore. I used to have, you know, really good files and things like that. So all of these is just like a bunch of steps. Just like everyone could be its own. I mean, I'm a nut person. I just do nuts.
Right.
Things like that. So a little bit of everything with this.
Yeah. That's what I'm digging. And, you know, kind of one of the cool parts about it to me too is, you know, you and I play guitars and we play acoustic guitars, but you never really look inside the damn thing, but you know what's in there. But until you actually build it and kind of go through those processes, it's kind of cool. You know, you start to really, you know, become one with the instrument, right? Like if you play any acoustic guitar, you know, the steel string or classical now, you know what's in there, you know how it's built, you know, the bracing pattern, or, you know, that was a cool process too, is putting the bracing on the top and the back and having it work. Just the little weird things too that you got to do, you know, to build.
Is it a one piece back or did you have?
No, it's a two piece back.
Okay.
And then I also put and I put a strip.
Right.
Between the back.
That looks so cool.
Yeah.
One thing I don't know if you have this with what you're working on. One thing I really love about my Martin is the smell in there.
Oh,
it's like the cedar that they use. It just has this distinct smell. And it just, I mean, it's over 25 years old and it still smells really great. I always find myself sticking my nose in the sound.
Oh, dude.
It's that cedar. Yeah. It's just beautiful smell.
Well, and the rosewood. And like as I was thicknessing the materials, that was part of the fun of the process, is smelling the cedar and smelling the rosewood as I'm thicknessing these. It is. It's really cool. That's what I'm looking forward to, is to have this thing completely built and having those sensations that we have with guitars that we bought, right? And, you know, just to have that sensation, you know, the smells and how it feels and all that stuff, something that you built. And, you know, the ultimate thing is I hope it sounds good, right? I mean, that's the key, right? It's got to sound good and play well. So
I'm sure it will. You have a really good classical guitar now too. So something to compare it to, like.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. Yep. That's a great point. Yeah. And I can do an AB to that and get.
Well, you'll know. Sense. It'll feel, I mean.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't owned a classic guitar in years and years and years, but they were always really fun. I had a Guild, a really old Guild classical guitar, and that thing was super fun. There's nothing else like it, you know.
I love
and
that.
I didn't play classical music on it. I played a bunch of other weird stuff.
Yeah, it's been an odyssey, you know. And I bought that drum sander, and I bought a bandsaw and planes, chisels, and they all have to be sharp. And so I've gone down those rabbit holes too, which is another kind of fun thing for me, because I never, you know, I've bought chisels before, but I've never sharpened them, or, you know, and that's the first thing you should do when you buy a chisel or you know, cause they don't come like sharpened. So I had to get the sharpening stones and do the whole, and I had to watch videos of, you know, these different guys that are experts on sharpening your tools. And so that's kind of been fun too, is the other aspect of just woodworking that I've had to get a little more acquainted with, you know.
That was a question for me. How much woodworking experience did you have before you took this on?
I had quite a bit. I mean, but not woodworking at this level, like this detail of, like, you know, working with really thin material and braces and using, I hadn't really used chisels or planes much at all in my woodworking. It's been mostly like, you know, furniture, or I built some electric guitars in the past, but I bought the necks, and it wasn't a lot of stuff like I'm doing now. So yeah, I'd say pretty extensive woodworking skills, but nothing, this is next level, right? Is where you've got to make sure your tools are sharp, and you got to, it's kind of crazy.
It's precision. Yeah.
Yeah.
And like a lot of fine detail.
Yes.
So I can't wait to see it. I mean, I've seen pictures of it.
Yeah, dude, I'll bring it over. I'll bring it over when it's done. But I recommend, like, not necessarily building a guitar, but doing, if somebody's out there that has a passion that they haven't done, you know, for whatever reason, I just suggest jumping in with both feet. You know what I mean? Because it's like, that's what I finally did. And I was nervous and scared and full of anxiety, but I just did it. And so far it's working out. So like I said before, all the stuff, all the other stuff is what I've learned, like trying to learn patience and trying to learn other tools and trying to, you know, cut myself off if I feel I'm going past where I'm tired or so all those other things it's kind of teaching me and it's been kind of cool.
How to string curse words together to come up with new, whole new meaning.
Exactly.
No, I think today the DIY thing is huge. So many people building pedals and amps and guitars and all that stuff. So there was like a small niche back in like the 70s and 80s. And like you said, there was books like that. I mean, I forgot one around here somewhere, like Build Your Own Electric Guitar or, you know, some guy that's just like guitar repair, like switching pickups and stuff like that. But it really took off.
Because I think we have that, all of us have that in us, is just we want to make something, you know, and we want to try it ourselves, you know, and it is, it's fun. Like you, yeah, I'm sure you got a kick out of like building pedals and amps and stuff. And the cool thing is when you plug it in and it works, shit, it works and it sounds pretty good. It's like, and it demystifies the process, which is kind of, that's kind of fun too, is just seeing, oh, this is just something, this is just a skill that you can learn, you know?
Right. That got me, I take care of my own amps now, you know what I mean? I just kind of like maintain them and, you know, replace things when they need it. And it's just, you know, I started with a Champ. And the thing that I think I did differently is I never built a kit, you know what I mean? I built my first amp because I found an old broken organ that had a 6V6, you know, tube in it and some other stuff. And I started from there. So, and there were, like I said, there wasn't any videos to show you how to do it. So it was just like forums and things like that. But, you know, from doing that, I learned like what does what. And, you know, Champ's a great little circuit and you learn what stuff goes on. Next, I made a Deluxe. Then I made an 18 watt. And then I realized that, you know, I like the older stuff better. And I'd rather just take care of that stuff. But it was great. So, yeah, DIY, it can get you a lot closer to your art. So,
yeah, it's interesting. I really do appreciate the fact that we are in an age now where I can get video instead of just, you know, pictures in a book, words in a book, because I think that helped me a ton. And yeah, I don't envy you starting building amps back before kind of that whole process was going on, because it's harder. It's like you gotta, it's probably good and bad, right? It's good in a way that you kind of got to really figure stuff out more on your own. And, you know, bad, but that, you know, you don't have that visual, you know, step-by-step process, but.
Yeah. Finding it, pictures on the internet of old vintage amps, the circuit board, and then comparing that to like Fender's like drawing, and then looking at the schematic and putting everything together. I fixed an amp for my neighbor that was an old Epiphone, and there was no schematic available for it. He had a guitar tech for years, and he said, I can't find the schematic. So he took it back and gave it to me, and I fixed it because I found three or four different schematics that had the parts that was kind of in this amp. And I kind of use that to piece everything together. And it's one of his favorite amps. He plays it all the time.
I love that.
I mean, that's a skill that, and then I guess I do have some patience for stuff, because that did take some patience, because.
Well, hell yes.
Yeah, that was kind of messed up. And the dude had done some work in there, so it was kind of half wired. So there was stuff that I had to pull out of there and get it back to more like it was. And then.
Yeah, and I love it that you didn't start from a kit, that you just started from some old gear that you put together. I think that's cool.
So yeah, I'm excited to see this thing. What are your estimation? If you had to estimate how long, do you have like a launch date or something?
I really don't.
I have a recital in September that I'm going to do this thing.
Well, I never had one to begin with. And I kind of, once I started building it, I was like, oh, I'm going to be done. I really don't know. I'd say maybe several more months at least, you know, to finish it. But, that's kind of the fun part about it too, is just, you know, not having a deadline. I want to optimize my chances for, you know, building something that I think I will like and it will sound good. And even though it's my first guitar, I want it to be as good as it can be. So I'm just taking my time and I really hope it turns out good. I want to build more, just because it is fun. Once you get into it and once you get into these different processes, it's consuming and kind of fun to do. I kind of dig it.
I think I asked you this. I think you said as far as a finish, you're going to use like a French polish. Is that what you're going to do?
Yeah.
That's great, because it looks beautiful and you can do it. You know, you don't need a spray booth and all this other stuff. So, you know, I love that finish, and it lets you feel the wood. So it's really, That's a good way to go.
Yeah, I'm really psyched to do that too. And the cool thing is this guy builds the guitars really in a traditional way, right? He uses the kind of traditional fan bracing and he doesn't use a lot of the modern, I mean, he uses some, you know, modern techniques, but by and large, he's based his design on the Torres and, you know, kind of the Hauser, kind of an amalgamation of those builders. And that's what I liked about him is I like kind of his traditional approach to these guitars because, you know, that's kind of my mindset. I like, you know, kind of old electrics and everything else and kind of the way things were done in the past. I mean, I'm using, you know, some modern tools, but a lot of it is handwork. And yeah, so that I was kind of drawn to that too, that he kind of does this old school in terms of the bracing and his approach really to the building guitars.
Is the neck, is it ebony, the fretboard, or is it
rosewood? Yeah.
Ebony.
Ebony fretboard.
That's cool.
Then, yeah.
And one last question is it, so Floyd Rose or Kaler?
Wilkinson, or what's the
Wilkinson? Wilkinson, yeah. Kaler.
Cool. Floyd on this. No Floyd. Yeah. Yeah. I'm psyched. And, we'll put some pictures online either on Instagram or whatever, and listeners can check it out and I'll keep us posted on it. Thanks for asking about it. It's been a fun process and I look forward to finishing this damn thing and hopefully put some audio online to entertain the folks.
Sweet. Well, thanks for sharing.
Yeah. Thanks, buddy. Well, thanks for listening as always. Really appreciate it. And we are proud members of the Ruinous Media Network. And we've got a sponsor, DistroKid, which you probably heard us refer to that earlier in the episode, but we're super psyched about that too. Listen to us on Spotify and wherever you listen to podcasts. We're on YouTube. And what else you got, Chris?
Nothing. Go and build a guitar or a pedal or an amp or something. Do something with your life.
Amen.